I want to share a couple stories about me just to kind of start our topic. We're going through a series on the book of 2 Timothy, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And when I was in college, I remember somebody even asked me, what's your favorite book in the Bible? I said, 2 Timothy. Because it's like a letter to a young man from an older, like, father figure in his life, just giving him some really good guidance in life. And I really appreciate it. It really stirred my heart. It was a book I came back to a lot. And so we're just going through 2 Timothy gems, and just kind of looking at some of the nuggets. We could probably do the whole book. It's just full of great passages. But in my life, so I didn't grow up going to church, but then I came to faith in Christ in college when God had been working in my life for a long time and kind of came together. And then I started serving in the church. I started getting involved. And God just took over my life. He took the furniture in my life and started rearranging it. He just came into my home and just changed everything. And I started to really care about people. I decided that being a part of God's work was a good thing. Our small group we were on got bigger, and eventually I started leading a small group. And I graduated from college, and I got a job just doing manual labor. And I'm at this job doing manual labor. And during the day, for a great guy in the church, working hard. And then in the evenings, we had meetings, and I was trying to meet with people and just be involved in a lot of ways. And I remember just really feeling like I was working really hard for God. And then one day at work, our job was moving stones, and I crushed my finger between two rocks. It broke the joint into little fragments, and they filed it down and stuck it together. You can see my finger doesn't bend anymore, and it's a little shorter. And so I couldn't work. And so for a couple weeks, I had this thing on my finger, and my whole hand no longer worked. And so I'm living in a house with three other guys. I can't button my own pants. And I didn't have that many sweatpants. So I would be like, roommate, would you please button my pants for me? I learned how to tie my shoe with one hand, and that was my left hand, which is not my dominant hand. I learned how to do a lot of weird things that were really hard to do. And I really, really wanted to go back to work. I was getting workers' comp, but it was just a really hard time. And I was so frustrated. Like, God, here I am doing all these things for you, and what do you do in return? Just crush me. And I remember being on the back patio of our house, and I was so frustrated, I just picked up a chair on there. I couldn't use my right hand, so I picked it up, and I just chucked it off of the balcony, why? And during that time, God brought a book into my life, which really touched my life. And one of the phrases in it was, God doesn't want what you can do. God wants you. I feel like he let my finger get crushed just so I could learn that. And I'm still trying to learn that. God doesn't want what you can do. He wants you. I really think that's true. I really believe that. On the flip side, fast forward years later, I'm married. One of the things that I've struggled with my life is a sense at times that I'm a burden to other people. And the darkest place of that belief has been that the people around me that are close to me and the world in general would be better off if I was gone. That's like the darkest place of that. And there was a time in my life in my bedroom wrestling through the depths of that lie with God and really feeling like it was true and bringing it to him and allowing him to speak to me and say, I created you. I love you. And you are my workmanship. And as a person who loves to build something, it just meant so much to me. You're my workmanship. You are my workmanship. You're my masterpiece. I created you. And by the grace of God, I haven't struggled with the depths of that lie in many years. So today I want to talk about working for God. And on one extreme, there's a really unhealthy hyperactivity extreme that says, everybody needs me. And if I don't work hard, the whole thing's going to fall apart. And God is so much depending on me that if I don't do all the right things, his whole kingdom's going to collapse. And on the other side is this extreme of, I have nothing to give. I have nothing. I'm just a burden. I'm just whatever. I just exist. I have nothing to contribute to the work of God. And both of those are really ugly. And I don't know if you tend towards one or the other of those. But there's a healthy place. We are invited to be a part of the work of God. Wow. In a really healthy way. Not in this unhealthy, hyperactive way of everything depends on me and I got to do all these things and God, aren't you proud of me? I'm working so hard. Or this, God will do whatever he wants. He doesn't need me. I'm just inconsequential. And so we're going to look at that a little bit in 2 Timothy. And so why don't we pray and look at this section today. Thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for each person here. Thank you for how much you love us. Thank you that you love me with all of my shortcomings and all of my mistakes. Thank you that you have sought me out, that you care about me, that you desire to be close to me. Thank you that we each have a part in what you're doing here on earth. I pray that you would give us courage to do the things that you have called us to do. I pray that you would give us understanding to do them in the way that honors you. Just invite you here today. We acknowledge that you are present. I feel your love here. Teach us what you want to teach us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The passage we're going to look at is 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. So that's our passage this morning, and we're going to reflect on what he's saying and trust that God will give us insights. God might even give you insights different than things that I said, and I would love to hear those. That would be an awesome conversation. So the start of this, it says, you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the ESV, it says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. That's a really cool thing there. So grace, what is grace? Grace is this amazing word. Grace. Grace is this word, it means gift. Grace is the gift of God. And it's the gift of undeserved favor. It means God accepts you regardless of what you've done. He accepts you completely. And what's cool, I was looking at it, it's like the Greek word, which I think you say it like haris, but it looks like charis, is the root word comes from joy, which I think just adds a really cool feel to grace. Grace is that God gives you joy, and I think God enjoys you. There's this connection of joy. Grace is full of joy. God accepts you and me, and he gives us gifts as long as you do the right things. That's not grace. Grace is a gift. Well, no Christmas presents this year, kids. No, it's like grace is the gift of God. How do you get the gift of God? By having a God who gives gifts. That's how you get the gift of God. And then you receive the gift. Grace is a gift from a giving God. God loves to give gifts. From the very beginning, he's a giver. And he wants to give to you. And he loves when you receive it. And he loves when you enjoy it. And what's saying here is, this gift, it makes us strong. Did you know life is hard? Any of you young people might not know this. Life is hard. It really is. Anybody who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something, right? But grace gives us strength. It strengthens us. And the beautiful thing is, and we can get so mixed up in this, grace is not something we earn. We do not earn grace. We're given grace. God gives you grace because he wants to give you grace, because he loves you, because he delights in you, because he enjoys smiling every time he sees you or thinks about you. And his grace strengthens us for life. Okay, but then we're going to go into this next section. It's going to start talking about doing all this stuff. And there's kind of these weird, I shouldn't say weird, there's these big debates in like Christian circles of like, how do grace and works fit together? In other words, so grace is like, we're just receiving this gift. And works is like, man, I'm doing something. And so on one extreme end is the idea of like, it's pure grace, you should never do anything. Sit in your house and do nothing. And that's like hyper grace. And I think that's really like a dangerous place to go. And the other end of that is like, it's all about what you do. And you need to get off your butt and do some things for God, so then God will be pleased and you can accomplish the things of God. And that's like this hyper works, and that's a dangerous place to go. How do those fit together? How does God's grace and our effort, God's grace and our works fit together? I think all of us have to kind of come to a wrestle of that in our own lives. And so I'm a horrible theologian, but I do want to share just a little like kind of theology on that. Grace and works, they must fit together in our lives. So yes, you are saved 100% by grace. To go to heaven, what you need to do and accomplish is say, Jesus, I receive your gift. Here's my life. And you're completely fit for heaven because his forgiveness, his pardon, his power, his perfection in the Holy Spirit makes us perfect for heaven. You can never do enough to be fit for God. So let's just be clear on that. We don't do effort to try to get to God. Like, that is not really going to work. But on the other hand, once we've received grace, there is things we should do in response to that. And I feel like the order, I probably say this a lot, but the order is so important. This is the broken order. If I do all the right things, if I work hard, then I will be accepted. Some of you like me, picked that up since you were young. That's true somewhere. That's not how God works. God flips it around. God says, you are accepted. Done. From that place, you can work and do beautiful things and participate in bringing the goodness of God to other people. You get to be a vessel of good. You get to work. And that's not an easy thing. Sometimes that's a challenge. But it comes from being accepted, not in order to. May all of us continue to fight against that tendency inside of us. Do you feel that? Do you guys feel how you want to switch that sometimes? I mean, that's how it was in school, right? If you do all the right things, you get the good grades. Like, no, I'm going to give you an A first. Now, teacher jokes. You got to keep those away from here. But anyways, I'm on summer break. I shouldn't be talking about that. All right, 1 Corinthians 5:58. Here's just a really awesome verse that's saying you should give your life to work hard for God. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Give your life to the work of God. But please don't do it to try to earn God's favor. But earlier in the chapter, he says this, by the grace of God, I am who I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So in this verse, Paul is saying, God's grace has changed me. God's grace has made me who I really am. The fullness of who I am. And from that place, I've worked so hard. In fact, harder than anybody else. But it was his grace that allowed me to do that. His grace strengthened me. So that order is really important. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. How do you get rescued from death? By faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This section, to me, I think captures really well. We are not doing great things to try to get saved, to be accepted to God. But from that place of grace, God has given us things to do. Grace and works fit together really well. Romans 3:28 says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So justified means to be made just, to be made just as if you've never sinned, to you're innocent, you're not guilty. And that comes from faith. And then check out this verse in James 2:22. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. And so some people read these things like, man, this is total contradiction. But it's not. I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't wrestled with this, check out those two passages they come from. Because it's saying, can works save you? Absolutely not. From a place of faith, if you really have faith, will you do works? Absolutely. They must come after and not before. They do fit together. I like how Dallas Willard, a really famous theologian, says, grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. Grace is not a way to earn something from God. But grace and effort fit together. God's grace and our effort fit together very nicely. But sometimes it's hard to sort out. All right. Enough of the theology. Even though I think that's really important to kind of think through and really good. Today, what I want to say to you is that we are invited to join God as active participants in his work here on earth. He wants you to be an active part. You're invited. Come be an active part of what God's doing. But accomplishing God's mission for our lives is not a matter of hyperactivity, like I was saying. Ah, nor is it a matter of inactivity. It's a matter of courageously living out who he has made us to be in joyful relationship to him. In God's kingdom, his grace and our faith combine for a life whose impact stretches for eternity. All right, let's look at that. Sometimes it's hard for me to summarize things in like one little paragraph. Like, that's got a lot of big words and stuff. Hopefully that makes sense, but we'll look at it. So, we get to be a part of what God's doing. And in this passage, there's three parts of that. The soldier. Paul says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That's quite an invitation. Hey, why don't you come suffer with me? Anybody who's joined the army has said yes to that. And there's some appeal in that. Hey, come give yourself to something incredibly hard that's going to require all you have. And there's something in me, at least, that says, yeah, I want to. I want to engage in something that requires all of me. If there's hardship, okay. And even the join with me. I think, to me, one of the most appealing things of the army is the camaraderie. The people together, serving together, striving together, is like, there's something really neat in that. Of course, then they break it up and you got to find new connections. But join with me in suffering. What an awesome invitation. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Here's what it looks like to be a soldier. A couple things that Paul wants us to see. These are analogies about being in the kingdom of God. If you have faith in God, you are part of his mission, part of his army, part of his body, part of what he's doing. And so he says, if you're really a soldier, you don't get entangled in civilian things. So I'm imagining like an army that goes somewhere, who knows, maybe they go to the desert somewhere, and there's a lot of fighting. And one of the soldiers, rather than being on the lines fighting, is like over at the school playing with the kids. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that might be a cool thing to do, and I think it's cool when the army like goes and, you know, reaches out to kids and stuff. I was like, that's not why you're here. You're not here to go to the school and hang out with the kids. You're here because you're part of a mission. And there's so many things in our lives that want to entangle us. Man, I get so busy. If any of you aren't busy, I got a list of things I need to do around my house. And come on by and you can you can share some of those. And there's so many interesting things on YouTube and TikTok and all over that just like, they want to just grab our attention. Like, oh, wow, this is so awesome. And to not, don't get entangled in those. When Steve said we were doing gems from 2 Timothy, this is the verse that came to my mind. I used to think about this all the time. In fact, there was a time in my life when I was like, I'm never going to get married because I want to be available for the work of God. I do not want to get entangled in civilian stuff like having a family and all that stuff. I'm a soldier. And some people have interpreted this all kinds of ways. Some people are like, I will not get involved in any politics. That has nothing to do with the work of God. Other people disagree. They say, I'm going to get involved in politics because that is the work of God. But for our own lives, to fight against that tendency to get entangled by the things and know we're a soldier. We have a mission. And then the second part, he says, because he wants to please his commanding officer. It's cool to me that we can make God smile. Like our efforts, our life with God, when we make choices to honor him, it pleases him. The joy that he has for us is like available in those times. And to know that your dad is proud of you, when I was working, I told you about that guy I worked for. I told him one time, I would have gone a whole week without pay, and I told him this after I quit working for him, if he would have just, at the end of the week, said, I'm really proud of you. Thank you for working so hard for me. He's like, man, you should have told me. I would have gladly not paid you that week. To know that my dad is proud of me is like down deep in me, one of the most beautiful things. And there's this thing of like, your father, God, is proud of you. When you make even the smallest thing, when you do the smallest thing in his kingdom, Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water to someone, he'll remember that. It's like, I remember that. That was awesome. You loved somebody. You shared your faith. You brought good to this world. The next thing he talks about, there's three analogies: soldier, athlete, farmer. Kind of paint this picture. What does it look like to serve God? And so the soldier has this, like, you know, hardship and trying to please the officer, not getting entangled. The athlete, Paul writes to Timothy, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Okay, so he's saying serving God is kind of like being an athlete. And those of you that love sports, that's probably a great analogy. Those of you that hate sports are like, oh, great, don't tell me that. But to capture the heart of what that is, the athlete who works hard, who gives himself and receives a crown, who experiences victory. But he's saying in order to experience victory, you have to do it according to the rules. And so what are the rules of serving God? What are the rules of that? I think one of the most important rules, as I understand it, I know a few weeks ago John Hauser was sharing one of the scariest verses in the Bible. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, Jesus says, many of you will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things for you? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we not perform miracles? And then he will say, get away from me, for I do not know you. It's like this really scary verse to me. It's like, I'm imagining these people that like did miracles, cast out demons. They're like serving God. And then it's like, I don't even know you. Get away from me. So to me, the first rule, the guidelines for competing is it's not us running off and doing something. You can't just leave the track and go run 80 miles and be like, yeah, I ran 80 miles. Like, where's my medal? You don't get a medal. You have to run right here. This is where you get the medal. And right here is connected to God. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I never knew you. Everything that we do of any value in service to God comes from knowing him, comes from being in relationship to God, comes from this joyful connection to God. So how do we grow that connection to God? How do we enjoy him? I think that's the grace, right? That's the grace that strengthens us. Do you have a time in your life when you just stop, turn it all off, and just be with God? And just enjoy him and listen to him. And give whatever you want to give, like friends, you know, where you like share your heart and stuff. Because if not, it's just this like crazy effort. It's just like, like I ran 800 miles. Like, you're a crazy person. You don't get any medals. You get it right here with Jesus. That's where the victory is, right here in the place with Jesus. another rule is that, I guess it's kind of the same thing. Paul talks about it. I don't run aimlessly. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. In my life, sometimes it's like, he's just running without knowing where he's going. Or like a boxer, he'll describe it as a boxer's just fighting the air. Like, man, I did so much. It's like, but you were just fighting the air. Like, you didn't do what God wanted you to do. To like actually do what he's asking me to do. Do it according to the rules. I think just another thing is I think about the rules of running is the race we're running is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So our life, and I've seen a lot of people that like, they like really, really want to serve God, and then after a while they just kind of run out of steam. And part of that, I've seen some people that just like, they go so hard, and they'll even say, I don't need sleep. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Has anybody ever heard people say that? It's like one of the worst philosophies ever. It's like, this is a marathon. You need to stop and rest. You need to stop and let God fill you up again. If you run the first lap of a marathon and you're the first one to the end, nobody cares. It's a marathon. So, okay, farmer. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. This has been really good for me. Just bringing some balance to my life. A hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. I don't know if any of you have ever worked on a farm, but like the first crops, I have a couple uncles that are farmers. One of them has a farm, they also have orchards, and they grow cherries, peaches, and plums, and apricots, all this awesome fruit. And the best fruit in the whole world is ripe from the tree. If you get fruit ripe from the tree, it is like so delightful. So when he says the farmer should be the first to receive a share, it's like they get the best. The farmer's table should have the nicest food of all. And sometimes in my life, I've felt like I am just some kind of like soldier for God, and he doesn't really care about what I am going through. He just wants me to get some things done. And that's a really unhealthy thing that God has kind of worked on. But God wants to give us joy in that. God wants to give us good fruit. To enjoy that time. God wants to give you gifts. You are not God's slave that he just wants you to accomplish things. You're his beloved child. And he wants you to enjoy that. And to know that you're in connection with him. Just a couple stories for me. I know in my life, sometimes I, you know, try to do all these ideas I have. I'll do all these amazing things for God. One time I was, the first school that I taught at was, it was an alternative high school. The kids and the teachers were pretty rough there. And I was riding my bike to work with another teacher. And as we were riding to work, I was kind of just thinking about this idea of the main thing I have to offer anybody here is the life of God inside of me. It's just the Spirit of God. If I just am who I am and I let God do what he wants to do through me, then that would be the greatest thing. So we're riding our bikes to school. It's like 15 miles or something. And I'm just thinking about this idea. I'm just like I just want to be connected to God. I just really want to like know who I am and let the Spirit move through me. We're riding our bikes and the other teacher I'm riding with, he turns to me, he's like, you know, Dove, you have such a positive energy. Which is like, in non-Christian terms, that means like, I sense the Spirit of God in you. And it was really affirming to me, because I was just thinking about that right then, of like, you know what's going to like touch people's lives is when I'm really just know who I am. And I just am true to that. And sometimes, rather than being true to that, I hide who I am. I don't want anybody to know that I love God, because they might think I'm weird. And I think some of you guys I sense that. Struggle with some of that hiding. Like that, I want to hide the greatest treasure in my life, which is my relationship with God, so that others can feel comfortable or who knows what. But I want to invite us each just to courageously step into being a part of God's work. How would God use you right here in your life with the people that you know, with the place where you work or go to school or in your family? Just to really let the light shine. We are called not to hide the light of God in us, but to let our light shine. I also just want to plug we are going to do a mission trip, which I'm excited for. So we kind of have this cool idea. Steve came up with a cool idea. We're going to do two mission trips at the same time. We're going to have a group of people come to El Paso, and we're going to host them. And so if you want to help host a mission team, they're going to come to El Paso, and they're going to serve our city. And then we're going to send out a group of missionaries to go serve in El Paso. So we're actually sending a team out, and we're receiving a team, but it's the same place. It's right here in El Paso. And so I think that would be a great opportunity for people to be an active part of what God's doing. So, all right, why don't we pray? May God really just encourage your hearts to be an active part of his work here on earth. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you that I get to be a part of what you're doing and that it's not dependent on me. I want to be your soldier. I want to be an athlete who receives a crown. And I want to be a farmer with you. Give us insight, God. Give us courage, please. Help us with the places where we struggle, with the places where we have it mixed up on what our part is and what your part is. Ask that you would really use our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.